Amen. Happy Sabbath. Can you hear me? All right. Shine, Jesus, shine. What a powerful song. I haven't heard that in a while. It has some true meaning to it. If Christ shines in our lives, then we will shine in the lives of other people. But Christ must be seen in us. I just want to turn your attention to the scripture reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. One of my favorite texts. And the writer says, if you've then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. And so, I was torn probably for the past few weeks that I did not have a message. I didn't. So I usually ask the Lord to give me something that our nation is dealing with, the church is dealing with, and something that will alarm us and wake us up. And so I was given this by the Lord, I believe so. Independence Day and Religious Liberty. And so that's the title of my sermon this morning. Let's bow our heads as we invite the presence of the Lord with us. Father, as we come this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit presence to be with us. We ask that you would permeate this place. We ask that you would come by here. For the songwriter says, someone is praying, come by here. Someone is crying, come by here. Someone is dying, come by here. Oh Lord, come by here. In Jesus' name, amen. The events surrounding the writings and the signing of U.S. Declaration of Independence have resulted in endless reflections and discussions by scholars and ordinary citizens alike. So in the form of advice, allow me to share three lessons I learned from U.S. independence. While I incorporated spiritual reflections, it is my hope that they may prove useful to whosoever happens to read these lines. Hopefully I'll be able to get these pages turned because I don't know what happened to my thumb. And without your thumb, you can't really grab nothing, or it just for past couple of days it swelled. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I must move forward. And the writer goes on and says, choose your fights. Historians agree that one of the first significant events that led to the American independence was the Boston Tea Party incident in December of 1773, a few months before trying to save the official tea company. The British Parliament had passed a Tea Act and effectively taxing tea exports to America. In defiance, a group of demonstrators boarded a ship in Boston Harbor and destroyed the entire shipment of tea by throwing it into the water. King George III and the British Parliament respond harshly by ending local self-government in Massachusetts and closing the Boston's commerce. Colonists resist or respond with additional acts and protests. The crisis escalated, and the rest, as we always say, was history. The American Revolution War began near Boston in 1775. And all that perplexed us will in the world to come to be made plain. Being a spiritual leader, as we all are in our expanded or limited sphere, and influence means reading the times and the signs. In our reaction with others, we might often find ourselves disagreeing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is then that God's guidance can bestow heavenly enlightenment on us so that we know when to push our convictions towards and when to retreat to avoid grieving, but instead of saving the one of whom Christ died. Be aware of your blind spots. Thomas Jefferson, considered one of the founding fathers of the United States of America, was also the principal authority of its Declaration of Independence. And Jefferson, as part of the previous law practice, had defended slaves seeking freedom, included in the document adopted now, the now famous and second sentence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by God's Creator with the certain alienations rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So in spite of this document lofty ideals, George Washington's and Jefferson and others were rich owners of plantations where hundreds of slaves kept working for a decade. So after U.S. independence, moreover, based on some of Jefferson's writings, some historians point out that free, they would cause nothing but trouble. But Jefferson's case is not unique. We all have blind spots, dark alleys where our Christian practice often negates what we proclaim to believe. Individual members of the church should be jealous of their own souls, critically watching their own actions, wrote church co-founder Ellen G. White, lest they should move from selfish motives. Testimony for the Church, Volume 4, page 488. And Jeremiah the prophet unveils the core issue behind it, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who should know it? He also wrote, because of sin, all of us are in fact wretched, miserable, blind, and poor, and naked. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, only God's eye can enable us to see as God sees us. Look at the bigger picture. The revolution leading to the United States provoked a social crisis that affected thousands. Not everyone stood for the revolutionaries. Historians believe that many as 500,000 of U.S. residents ceased a chunk of population at the time, sided with the British. Families were divided along loyalty lines. The most dramatic example was when Benjamin Franklin and his own son William remained loyal to the crown. Father and son hardly ever spoke again since that incident. Also, in our spiritual church walk, we need to learn to stop. We need to step back and look at the big picture and perspective. Some of our call water events, often lost part of it. if not all their strength, what sometimes appear as a big personal family church. You name it, crisis is just an early bump in our road to heaven when it reminds us of another white statement which helps me to put on all things in perspective. All that our perplex us will in a world to come to be made plain. White Rose, Sister White, that is, the things hard to be understood will then find explanation. Where the finite mind discover only confusion and broken promises, we shall see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. Amen. That's found in Father Cares, page 67. On the 4th of July, the Americans cross across the nation proudly celebrated their identity as citizens of a free and independent country. Flags wave, national anthems are sung, and people rejoice in the privileges that come from their citizenship. It's time to reflect on a national pride and blessings of being part of a great country. But as Christians, we must remember that we hold dual citizenship. Yes, we are citizens of a nation here on earth, but we are also citizens of the kingdom, not of this world. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior, for there the Lord Jesus Christ. Our true identity is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the Philippians, who were proud of their Roman citizenship, but something highly valued in that era. Yet he reminded them, your truest allegiance is not to Rome, but to the kingdom of heaven. So as believers, we often live in a tension between two worlds. While we respect and contribute to our country, we must never forget that our first loyalty is to the Lord. Heaven is our home. Earth is our assignment. It's not at home. It's not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And one day Jesus is going to come and take us home if we make our call and election sure. So the writer goes on to say, we must have kingdom values over earthly systems. Colossians chapter 3, the text that was read, and it says, if we then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God, set our affection on things above, not here on this earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with God. We cannot get comfortable here because this world is going to burn up one day. And we know in the book of Revelation that the Bible says that the earth will burn up. The elements will be on fire, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So wherever sin has reached, God has to destroy. And so fire will burn up the elements. It says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. And that there will be no more sea. Are you looking for that day? I know I am. Because this earth cannot continue to be in the condition it is in. God will have to put a stop to this madness. We talk about our country. We talk about our president. Yes, he has gone mad. I have to agree with that. He has lost his marbles. But our hope is not on this planet Earth. And this is not what we're going to spend eternity. You see, God is going to make everything new. Are you looking for that day? Amen. Where that fire that will burn up this planet Earth, according to Revelation chapter 20, and the fire that will burn up this planet Earth will clean it up. And so John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth where there was no more sea. And so that fire that will burn up this planet will purify this planet. And so Matthew chapter 5 says that the meek shall inherit the earth. But that earth has to be purified where there is no more sin, no more death, no more complaints, no more hospitals, no more bills. Are you looking for that day? We got to pay some bills. And I was just passing through certain areas, and I seen a person, all their furniture out on the lawn. And it hurts my heart. But we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for any one of us. The government will attack God's people. And God's people will be put, they will be put to death eventually. So when this National Sunday Law passes, if your hope is not in God, then you're going to be in some serious trouble. Because many of us probably will apostatize and leave the ranks because of what's taking place in our country. And we ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen that with the patriarchs of old. Many of them were nailed to, it was Peter that was nailed upside down. You have Paul that was beheaded. But before Paul was beheaded, Paul was would put into a pot of boiling hot oil. Paul was beaten, snake bitten. But eventually he was beheaded. And so the only way you and I are going to be able to survive what's going to take place, our mindset must be heavenward. So whatever may come, you know, I had a dream. And this is probably a couple years ago. I don't know if I was watching some flick or something, but I saw where many of God's people was in this room. And the executioner was there with his blade. Well, not his blade, but with his sword. And many of God's people were being beheaded. I don't know where that dream come from. But I remember when I was new in a church, 37 years ago, I had a dream that I was at Tri-C Metro. And I would go up there and work out for years. And in this dream, I saw some meteorites hitting this planet. I seen people running. I'm new in the church, and I'm having this dream, Heather. And I see all these meteorites hit the planet. They would hit many people, and many people would die. And for some reason, in this dream, I escaped. So I asked the Lord one day, what did that dream mean? God said, you will be saved and preserved if your trust is in me. That's what he said to me. I mean, I had many dreams, but I'm not going to share them with you now. And so the writer goes on to say, representing the kingdom wherever we go. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this His appeal through us. An ambassador doesn't live for the country they are in. They represent the country they're from. As citizens of heaven, we are called to represent Christ in our every conversation, every relationship, every workplace, every community. Our actions should reflect the grace, truth, and character of our King. And the way we respond to conflict, serve others, speak about issues, and treat those who disagree with us should all point people to heaven, not to our pride or policies. Standing firm in a foreign land. Dear friends, I just want to urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires. Live good lives among the pagans. Peter calls believers foreigners and exiles, reminding us that this world is now our ultimate home. That means we will feel our place. Our conviction, priorities, and lifestyle will not always make sense to others. Yet we are not called to withdraw or complain. We are called to live well in these foreign lands. Our conduct must be so honorable and loving that it silences the accusers and points people to God, eagerly awaiting for our true King. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For there we do not have an enduring city, but we all looking for a city that is to come. No earthly nation, no matter how strong or prosperous, can offer eternal security. As citizens of heaven, we live with a deep longing and hope, not in a restoration of the policy system, political system, but in return of our Savior. And so our hope shapes how we endure suffering, how we handle success, and how we interpret the events of the day. We're not just trying to survive this world. We are preparing for the next. We are preparing for the next. So in closing, we're just pilgrims passing through. We might be citizens of this world physically, but spiritually we're not citizens of this planet. This world is going to pass away, and we must put our trust in God and God only. We must be proud of our country. May not agree with everything, but this is probably, I would say, the safest planet, the safest country on the planet Earth. People come here, immigrants come here. And many people have came here over the centuries to escape persecution. They came here to enjoy liberty and justice for all. And so my question for us this afternoon, we know that this country is not our permanent home, but it's going to pass away soon. Events are telling us that Jesus is soon to come again. And this thing about the National Sunday Law, even at the brink, we may take it lightly. We may think it's never going to happen in our lifetime. But the government is already making plans. If you know about Project, 2025? If you know about Project, if you know about some of the things that's in there, that true Christians will be persecuted. But we can't be concerned about that, because one day God is going to make us over. We're going to have new bodies. Are you looking for that day? And these bodies, they get decayed. They won't last. But God's original plan for humanity, that humanity will live forever in the garden until Adam sinned. So since Adam sinned, the human race have been affected by one man. But thank God for this last Adam who came to redeem us and to restore us back to God's original plan. and you want to say today, Lord, I want to stand. I want to be a part of your kingdom. And I want to do whatever it takes to be ready when Jesus comes. Because if I die today, can I honestly say I'll be ready? I think you know the answer to that. No one has to answer that for you. You know if you'll be ready or not. If Christ were to come today, or if I were to die today, can you honestly say that when that last trumpet sound, that I would be resurrected to meet him in the air? Can you say that? And so I make an appeal this morning that if you want to give it all over to the Lord at this moment, I'm going to ask that you would stand with me. If you want to give your heart to the Lord afresh, anew, let's pray. Lord, there are some times we may weep. The pain of seeing the direction this world is going, this country is going. But one day you say you're going to wipe away all tears. No more pain, no more death, for the former things will pass away. Lord, you have seen your people stood to give their hearts to you, to start afresh, new, from this day forward. We have got complacent, Lord, somehow because we have been in the church for over 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 years. But God is calling us to make our calling election sure. Yes, we're in a free country, but we know, Lord, we're just citizens if we're connected to God. But may our permanent security be in Jesus, in our permanent home in heaven. And so, Lord, I ask that you will fulfill the desires of your people for this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we pray that that would be a reality, that not only we sing that song, but may it be attached to our hearts. May we practice what we are, a child of the King, and may others see that. May we talk less and reveal more, as the servant have said. In Christ's name, amen.